I was able to take part in the Muskego campus last week and take part in the series, and it was just really great for me. And each week as a part of the series, there's a memory verse that we use to kick off the series, and it's in your outline, or you can follow it with me on the screen. I want you to read this verse with me, and this is the memory verse for the week. Let's read it together. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You know, I don't know if you're a memory person or not, if you struggle with doing that. Here is a great way to memorize a verse in the Bible. Take it, read it out loud 5 times in a row for 5 days straight. And you'll see after that time, that verse will begin to get lodged up here. And what's really cool is then something will come up in your life and you'll realize that that's not just lodged up here, but it's lodged down here as well. So I want to encourage you to memorize this verse this week. Now, I'm actually in the middle of an extended vacation, and my wife and our 3 kids, a couple weeks ago, we decided that we're going to go up to Green Bay, and we're going to go to training camp, and then after going to training camp, we were going to go to this amusement park called Bay Beach. I don't know if you heard it before. It's this small amusement park with cheap rides, you know. I mean, the kids were happy. We got out with 10 bucks, and they were happy, and, you know, I was really happy because we got out with 10 bucks, and it was a great day. And so we go up to training camp, and it was a real fun experience. But before we went to Bay Beach, we decided that we were going to stop and get something to eat. And so we rolled into a McDonald's, and we got out, all sat down, and I went up to the counter, ordered our lunch, and the nice lady who was waiting on us said, she just said, "Hey, why don't you sit down? I'll bring the food to you." I said, "That's great." So we sit down. She comes out with this big tray, and as she's putting out the food on the table, I realize she's made a mistake. But this was a good mistake, because she actually gave us 2 of something, even though we ordered 1 of it. And the thing that she gave us, I had never tried before. In fact, when I tell you what it is, some of you are going to go, "That's impossible." I mean, because for some of you, you live off of this stuff. I mean, if you don't have this stuff, I mean, you're just, you know, you can't even survive and function. And the thing that she gave us 2 of was 2 coffees. And so she sets these 2 coffees down, and I had never tried coffee before. And for some reason, I said, "I'm going to live on the edge today, honey. I am going to try coffee." And she was like, "Whoa, you know, I can't believe this. I've been trying to get you to do that for 18, 19 years now, but today's the day." And so I grab it, and I'm ready to drink it. She goes, No. "You can't just drink it black. You can't drink it straight. Let me do some things to it." And she takes a couple things of sugar, and she's dumping the sugar in it, you know. And I'm thinking, man, it's like warm Kool-Aid, you know. This is going to be great. And she stirs it up, and she gives me the cup of coffee. And then I take it, and I'm smelling it, you know. I'm like, "Oh, I still can't stand the smell of the thing, but that's fine." And I take the drink, and I kind of let it sit. And let me just say, it may have taken me nearly 40 years, but coffee drinkers, I get you now. I mean, I get it. I get it. I get why you're so obsessed with it, because it was amazing. In fact, I have a picture of the historic drink right here. This was the very first cup that I drank. And let me say, the decision I made that day has forever changed my life, because I have not missed a day since that day. Now, the verse that I'm going to talk about today is a verse that doesn't make people's top 10 verses. In fact, for the most part, it doesn't even make their top 20 or 30 verses. And I think the reason why is because on the surface, it sounds a bit negative. And we don't like negative verses. I mean, we want positive verses. But this one, it just kind of sounds a little negative. But this verse has made such a big impact on my life, and now has served as a guardrail as I go through the process of making major decisions in my life. And I say process of making decisions, because when we make major decisions, there's a process that we go through. And I'm going to talk about that process in a minute. But here's why it's so important that we have something that guides us in our decision-making process. Here's why. Our life is nothing more than a series of decisions that we'll make. Our life is just nothing more than a series of decisions that we will make. You know, if you've ever heard someone's story, you've seen this play out. You know, they're telling their story, and they're telling different things that are going on in their story, and then they're talking about major decisions that they were faced. And they talk about, you know, "We could go this way, we go this way, we go this way, we could go this way." And as they're telling it, you're just thinking, wow, that was a defining moment type of decision. But when they're telling the story and when they're making the decision, they had no idea what was at stake in those decisions. And you know, we know this to be true about ourselves because every one of us here can look back at our life and we can look back at decisions that we've made and we can look back and say, I am so glad I decided to do what I did. In fact, you know, you could look back and go, man, what if I didn't do that and how different my life would be? You know, what if I said no and what if I took that job and what if we moved and, you know, what if I spent that money and I shouldn't have spent that money and gone into debt and things like that. We can look back and say, whew, I'm so thankful I didn't do that. And the other way, we can also look back at decisions in our life and we go, I wish I could go back and I wish I could make a different decision that I made because we have a name for that. It's called regret. You see, our lives are nothing more than a series of decisions that'll set the course and the direction that our life will take. And some of you are here and you're facing or you will be facing some defining moment types of decisions in the next few weeks, in the next few months, and you don't even know it yet. You know, for some of you, it's going to have to do with your career and you're going to have to decide, do I change jobs, do I stay, or do we move? You know, for some of you, it's going to have to do with school. And you're going to have to decide, do I stay in school or do I leave school because finances are getting a little tight? For some of you, it's going to be a relational decision. And you're going to have to decide, do we get married? Do I stay engaged with this person? Do we move in together? I'm having a lot of conflict with my ex-spouse. You know, how do I handle that situation? You know, for some of you as parents, you know, you're going to have to decide, how do I handle that situation? You know, I don't know if you know this as a parent, there is always a that situation that you have to make decisions on, but you're going to have to make decisions on that. You know, for some of you, you're going to end up making major decisions financially, and you're going to have to decide, you know, do we rent, lease, do we own, do we upgrade, do we downsize, you know, do we save, do we invest, do we give? And for some of you, you're going to make some major decisions in regards to God over the next few weeks and months. And you're going to have to decide, do I continue to follow Jesus or do I walk away? Or you're going to have to decide, should I trust God with this area in my life even though I've never done it before or do I continue to go the course that I've been taking all along? And some of you are here and you are in the middle of that process right now. You are in the middle of making some major life-changing decisions in your life. And the question that we're going to talk about today is, how do we do that? I mean, how do we make decisions, good decisions, when the information's limited, when the options are limited, and the time is limited? And that's what the verse that I'm going to talk about today deals with. Now, before I get there, before I talk about my verse, I want us to look at a question that'll help us in this decision-making process. But I'll be honest with you, this is a tough question. You aren't going to like this question. I don't like this question. And the reason we don't like it is because we learn something about ourselves through looking at this question that we aren't going to like. And this is why most people do not stop and ask themselves this question. But this question is the starting point in the decision-making process. In fact, if you're a Christian, you know, we often think the starting point is, what would God ask me to do or what would God want me to do? However, this question even needs to come before that. And you're going to see in a moment why that is. Now, if you're here and you are not a church person or you're, you know, your friend invited you and they said, hey, listen, if you come this week, I'll buy you lunch. And they guilted you into it and you're here. Listen, you don't have to be a follower of Jesus to still ask yourself this question, because even if you ask yourself this question, you will make better decisions. So here's our question. Question is this: what is the real reason why I'm doing this? What's the real reason why I'm doing this? In other words, am I really being honest with myself about why I'm considering this option more than all the other options? Am I really being honest about why I'm inclined to go this direction versus all the other directions? And the reason this is so hard, because many times we don't want to know the real reason why we make a decision, why we make a certain decision the way we make it. Now, here's what I know about all of us in this room, and it's this. We are all very good at selling ourselves on something we really want to do, whether we should do it or not. Let me give you a real easy example on this. Think about how easy it is to talk ourselves out of exercise and into dessert. I mean, think about this. Think about this, and we do this all the time. You're scheduled to work out, you're ready to go, and you know what we never do? We never say this, yeah, I don't think I'll go, I don't want to go, and then just leave it at that. What do? We have a conversation with ourselves, and it goes something like this. It goes something like this. You know what? I worked 5 minutes longer today than I did yesterday, and it's a little tired because of it. Or we just say, you know what, the workout yesterday, I mean, my knee's a little bit sore. Wasn't sore earlier in the day, but it's the end of the day, now it's a little sore. I'll just work out tomorrow. Or we're having dinner out with a friend, waiter comes by and flips us the dessert menu and says, would you like to order dessert? And once again, we have this conversation with ourselves, and the conversation goes something like this. I haven't had dessert in 3 days. Or, he's paying for it? Whoa, listen, I didn't even know he owned a wallet, much less, you know, anything. That must be of God if he's willing to pay for something. Or we say this, I'll start my diet on Monday. Now, it's Tuesday, but, you know, we're just saying, I'll just start my diet on Monday. When I talk to my kids, I talk to them about the importance of moderation when it comes to dessert. And there was this one time that we went to Wendy's, and they went up and ordered a junior Frosty for each of them, which, you know, they shouldn't even be such a thing, but there is, you know. And I ordered a large Frosty, and we took them home, and they ate a little bit of theirs, and then they put the cap on it, and then they saved it for later and put it in the freezer. Now, I ate my entire large, and one of my kids had the nerve to ask me this. Here's what he asked me. Hey, Dad, why did you eat the whole thing? And here's what I said to him. I said, son, I'm 4 times the size of you, so I need more ice cream than you do. Now listen, why didn't I just say this? I don't have any self-control. I think I'll have a large. You know, why didn't I say that? Why didn't I say that? Because listen, we don't want to tell ourselves the truth. This is why we are so good at talking ourselves into things, even things that we know we shouldn't do. And let me tell you how we talk ourselves into things, because we all do it the same way, and we go through the same process when we do this. And here's how it goes. It goes like this. When we're confronted with options, when we make a decision, we got options that we need to make, our heart will often gravitate towards a certain option. And you know your heart gravitates towards a certain option when you begin to have all these positive emotions towards a particular option. And you start to go, I want that. I need that. And so your heart goes, I want that. I need that. And your heart goes to your brain and says, hey, listen, brain, give me some reasons for that because I really want that. And you know what brain does? Brain does its job and gives us the reason for it. And so we say things like this. I'm 4 times the size of you, son. Or we say, I haven't had dessert in 3 days. Or work lasted 5 minutes longer. I don't think I'm going to work out today. Or we say, I can change him. I can change her. Hey, it's 50% off. It hasn't been 50% off ever. Those are all great reasons. And so what happens is that our heart gravitates towards a direction, goes to brain and says, brain, give me some good reasons for it. Brain ends up giving us good reasons. And here's what we do. And this is so crazy when you think about it. We end up believing the very lies that our brain was sent to tell us. Now, if that's not good enough, there's another part of this equation that adds to the difficulty in the decision-making process, and it's this. Most of us here, including me, we're not on a truth quest. In fact, we're not even on a quest to do the right thing. You know what we're on? We're on a happiness quest. And so when we're given 2 or 3 options, our heart gravitates towards the one that we think is going to make us the most happy. And so we go to brain and we say, brain, give me some reasons because I want that because that's the one that's going to make me most happy. And then our brain does that. Now, here's a couple examples of how this plays out in our lives. And listen, as I give these examples, these are bottom line examples. I mean, you're going to say, well, but what about this and that? Oh, yeah, okay, there's always that. But this is bottom line examples. And here they are. People get married and divorced for the same reason. I want you to think about this. Think about this. He or she makes me happy. Now he or she doesn't make me happy. People start and stop smoking for the very same reason. It made me feel good. Now it doesn't make me feel good. You see, we're on a happiness quest. The problem with that is that what makes me happy today often doesn't make me happy tomorrow or 2 weeks from now or months, years from now. And so this process that we go through in making decisions is our heart just, it just goes in a certain area, and then we tell our brain, that's going to make me happy. Give me some reasons to justify going down in that direction. And then what we do is we go down the very path that leads to our bad decisions. And the reason we do that is because we never stop and ask ourselves the question, what's the real reason why I'm doing this? Now, there's one other thing that makes this difficult, and it's this. There's something kind of wrong with you, and there's something kind of wrong with me, and I can't control it. Now, this is where my verse comes in for today. So if you have a Bible, I want you to open up to Jeremiah chapter 17. It's in your outline if you want to follow along there. Now, let me give you some background on Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, not a bulldog, maybe, or a bullfrog. Maybe he was a bullfrog. I don't know. But Jeremiah, as we're told, is a prophet. And it's about 600 BC. And at this time, the southern kingdom, Judah, had fallen away from God. And so God was judging them. And he did that by allowing the Babylonian Empire to come in and conquer them. And so the king of Babylon decided to appoint kings over to lead them or to rule over them. And one of the kings that he appointed was this guy named Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim wasn't a real king. He was just a figurehead king. And so Jeremiah goes to him and says, listen, Jehoiakim, don't get any ideas to think that you're going to be a real king. You're just a figurehead king. And don't think that you're going to do anything to overthrow the Babylonians. This is God's judgment on us. The best thing you can do is turn your heart toward God and turn our people's heart towards God. But Jehoiakim doesn't listen to Jeremiah, and he gathers this army, and he goes to fight against the Babylonian, which is just the dumbest thing he could have done, because it would be like everybody in this room. I'm up here, and I go, listen, we're going to fight against the U.S. military, everybody, and we're going to win, all right? I mean, we'd be like, no, that's the dumbest thing. But that was the type of odds that they were facing. And so as a result, the Babylonians just squash them. And then the king of Babylon, he puts in a new king, King Zedekiah. And Jeremiah tells him the same thing. Don't get any bad ideas. It's a bad idea. And Zedekiah, he doesn't listen to Jeremiah. And he decides to go in the footsteps of his predecessor. And not surprisingly, the same thing happens. And so Jeremiah, he's watching all this going on. And he's writing this out in a book. And he's writing all this. And then he gets to chapter 17. And in chapter 17, he writes this verse about the heart. And it's such a powerful verse. And it tells us, or in this verse, it tells us why we need to ask ourselves this question. Here's what he says, Jeremiah 17. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart, my heart, your parents' heart, you know, your grandma who, you know, when you look at her, I mean, she's like the model person, even her heart, your teenager's heart, and some of you parents are going, amen to that, you know, your teenager's heart, you know, your little baby girl's heart. And you're going, not my baby girl, give her a few years, all right? Even her heart. A heart is deceitful and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You know, it even gets worse. You see, when it looks at this heart, we can't educate ourselves past this thing. We can't mature past thing. You know, we don't get to be 21 or we get to be 40. We're like, oh, I'm past that now. You know, we can't do that. We can't even, listen to this, we can't even spiritualize ourselves past this for the rest of our lives. Our hearts are broken. And here's what this means when it comes to making decisions. It means this. Every time we're faced with a major decision, we have to go into it knowing that every option we look at, that we have the potential to deceive ourselves. When I was a freshman in college, I started to get into bodybuilding. And as time went on, I really got into it to the point where I wanted to start competing in competitions. And I got to know some people in the business and know some people who were winning competitions. And I got to a point where I was stuck, couldn't gain any more weight. just was at the sticking point. And so one of the guys who had been very, very successful, I had a conversation with him. He says, all right, here's what you need to do. And began to tell me about this performance-enhancing drug that was very hot at that time in the bodybuilding world, but it was illegal, and it had very dangerous side effects. And he just said, you know, but you need to take this. And I remember just having the conversation, and I remember just kind of pushing back, going, man, I can't do that. But here's what I ended up doing, and here's what led me to take it. Here's what I said to myself. Everyone's doing it. And if I'm going to compete with everyone else, I have to do what everyone else is doing. So despite the side effects and the dangers that go along with it, I deceived myself because bottom line, I just wanted to do it anyways. And we've all done this. I mean, think about some of the things that your heart has sold you on that you just look back on and go, oh, what was I thinking? I mean, think about some of the purchases that you can look back on and you go, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. What was I thinking? Or some of the relational mistakes that you've made that you look back on and you go, why would I even go out with that person? Why would I stay with that person so long? I mean, what was I thinking? And Jeremiah comes along and he says, hey, welcome to the world of the heart. As good of a person as you think you are and I am, guess what? Our heart is deceitful and beyond cure. Isn't that a great verse? I mean, didn't that just really inspire you? Isn't that just great to think about? I mean, you think about this, and it just sounds, you know, sounds so negative, and it sounds so depressing, and it sounds so hopeless. But when you really begin to unpack this thing, there is a lot of hope in this verse. You see, when we take this verse and the truth of this verse, and we really let this sink in, and then we connect it to our question, here's what we will experience. This question is both freeing and frightening to us at the same time. You see, it's freeing to us from the standpoint of if anytime we lie, it grows and gains momentum in our life. You know, many times we're able to go down a direction that we shouldn't go. It's because we've had the lie, and then we just continue to lie, and it just builds in momentum, and we keep going. But when we ask ourselves this question, knowing this, it exposes the lie, and it stops the momentum of it, and as a result, it stops the momentum of the direction that we are taking. And here's what you'll experience when you do that. It is freeing. But this verse is also frightening at the same time, because now you are accountable to you. And many times, we don't really want to know. We don't want to know the real reason behind why we make certain decisions. And that's why we say, brain, come up with something. But when we do this, it changes things. Because now we'll go like this. The real reason why I want to buy bigger is because I want my friends to think I'm wealthier than what I really am. You know, the reason why I'm staying in this relationship that is so unhealthy and that everyone's telling me to get out of, the real reason is because I'm lonely or because I'm insecure. You know, the real reason I'm going to take this job is because I want my dad's approval. And I know if I take this job, he'll be proud of me. You see, when we begin to go down this path, we will experience something that Jesus talked about in John chapter 8 when he said this. Then you will know the truth. And what does the truth do? The truth sets us free. You see, here's the bottom line. Truthful people are free people. Free from their deceptive heart and the bad decisions that we talk ourselves into because of it. And here's another thing we're free from. We are free to consider other options that are better options. And you know what we're also free to do? We're free to consider fully, what would God want me to do in this situation? You see, the truth is, bottom line, truthful people are free people. Now, let me tell you how to put this into practice in your life. And I'm going to give you something to do that when I tell you what it is, you're going to go, that sounds a little weird and it sounds a little crazy, but I want you to stick with me and I want you to put this into practice because this is going to help you so much. Here's what I want you to do. You need to have a heart-to-heart conversation with yourself in front of the mirror and you do it out loud. You need to have a heart-to-heart conversation with yourself. If not in front of the mirror, do it in the basement, do it in your car on the way to work or school. You know, you just need to find a place alone, and you need to have a conversation with yourself, and you need to do it out loud, because there is something very powerful and very healthy when we speak the truth to ourselves out loud. And so it looked like this. You're facing a major decision, and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you go, the real reason is blank. Here's what I would have said to myself in college about regarding taking those drugs. I would have said this. The real reason I'm taking those performance-enhancing drugs is because I'm insecure with myself. Had nothing to do with bodybuilding, because I'm insecure with myself. Now, let me give you a couple real-life examples about how this could play out in your life. Now, let me just say this. As I give you these examples, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you the process that you should go through when it comes to decision making. So it looked like this. You're thinking about buying new or bigger, upgrading, downsizing, whatever it may be. Here, look like this. The reason I want to buy new, the reason I want to buy bigger is blank. Now, most of the time, it's not because we need more space. It's not because, you know, the car is too small or this one gets better gas mileage and all that stuff. Most of the time, it's not because of that. The real reason is, and just tell yourself the truth. The real reason we are moving in together is blank. Now, what most couples do is they say, well, we're moving in together because it's better financially. And then what happens is they move in together, they break up, and they move out. And I'll say, what about the finances? And they'll say, oh, there were other issues. Really? Listen, the real reason we're moving in together is, and just tell yourself the truth. I'm not even telling you what to do. I'm just saying, tell yourself the truth. The real reason I won't take next steps with God is blank. Now, most people will say, I don't have the time, I don't have the time. But listen. Next month, when football season begins, most of us will spend the month of December or September, and we will spend 12 hours in front of the TV watching Packer games. And I'll be right along with you. We'll spend 12 hours. Listen, it's not a time issue. I'm just saying the real reason is, and just tell yourself the truth. The real reason is, for whatever decision you are making, whatever it may be, just tell yourself the truth. You see, because Jeremiah says this. He says, our heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So would you be willing to stand in front of the mirror and go, all right, the real reason I'm considering this option is blank, or the real reason I am not considering the option that all the people that are closest to me, that love me the most, are telling me to consider, the real reason I'm not considering that is blank. Just tell yourself the truth, because for the rest of your life, you're going to have to make decisions. And the decisions are bigger, you know, bigger than, do I drink coffee? Do I not drink coffee? Do I use sugar, cream, whatever it may be? They're so much bigger than that. And to live the kind of life that when you get to the end, that you look back on and that you're proud of, one that's not filled with regret, but that's filled with hope and significance, that honors God. Listen, the starting point is to break the habit of lying to ourselves by asking the question, what is the real reason why I'm doing this? You do this. It'll set you up, and it sets your family up for a great life, because you will make better decisions, because truthful people are free people, free to consider the most important option, and that is, what would God want me to do? So I'm going to pray for us, and one of the things, I'm going to pray for you, maybe you have a decision that you're making or that you're going to be making, and one of the things that I want to encourage you to do as you do this is just to say, God, would you really help me in this process? Would you search my heart? Would you lead me? Because my heart is deceitful. I can talk myself into anything, and we can. And so we need God's direction and help in this process. And so I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for you to do just that. So let's pray with me. God, our lives are nothing more than a series of decisions that we'll make. And you've given us the freedom to make our own decisions. But God, one of the things that's really tough for us to accept and to wrestle with is that at the end of the day, our heart's going to gravitate towards what's best for us. And God, that doesn't always lead to the very, very best decision. In fact, many times it leads to regret. And so God, we want you, whether we're in the process of making a decision right now or we're going to be, God, would you just search our hearts? Would you help us to detect this deceitful ways that our hearts can go towards? And God, would you help us to be brutally honest with ourselves? What is the real reason we want to do what we want to do? And God, I thank you for the decisions that won't be made because of just the searching of our heart and the brutal honesty that we're going to give with ourselves. And I pray, God, for courage for those who maybe they're going down a direction and you say, well, no. You've got better for me, God. To say no, to walk away, to make a change, whatever it may be. Would you help us with that, God? And would you give us wisdom as we take steps to make the major decisions that we will make for our lives, because they will be with us for the rest of our life. Thank you, God, for just the wisdom of Jeremiah and just the reality of, yeah, this is our hearts, but, we don't have to let our heart lead us in those directions. Thank you, God, for it, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.